All right, so what's it? We left off Yud Amud Aleph, Rava Bar Avuna. So 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top. Rava Bar Avuna, Rami Puzmiki. Excuse me. Rava Bar Avuna, Rami Puzmiki Umatli. So now remember again, the topic that we were dealing with this morning, yeah, was the feels like it's right. Was the discussion about Hikon Likras Elokecha. This idea, this yisod of preparing oneself prior to going ahead and davening. So we saw the example of the belt. Now the Gemara is going to give some other examples. So Rava Bar Avuna, Rami Puzmiki. Rashi's Rama Puzmiki, no sin and pilios chashuvim beraglov. He would put on his important slippers. And pilios are literally slippers. It means he would put on his good shoes for davening. Umatzli, and he would daven. Omar, because he used to say, hikon likras. A person must prepare themselves to daven. Rava, shodig lime. Rava used to throw off his cloak. Upachar yode, and would clasp his hands together. Rashi says, chovek yadav ve'etzba'osav. So if you can imagine, it's this motion. He would put his hands together, interlocking his fingers. Omar ke'avdo kamei mare, and he would say, I daven as a servant does before his master. The Gemara says, Omar Avashi, chazina le Rav Kahana, ki iketzara ba'ama. I used to see Rav Kahana, that when there was difficulty in the world, shodr glime, he would throw off his cloak, upachar yadeh, he would interlock his hands, umatzli, and he would daven. Omar ka'avda kamei mare. He said he was like a servant in front of his master. However, ki ika shalma, when there was shalom in the world, lovish, he would get dressed. Umis kasi, he would cover himself with his cloak. Umisatif, he would wrap himself. Umasli, and he would daven. Omar, hikon likras elokech yisa. So we'll say, interestingly enough, we see that apparently there is this difference in these models. That apparently there were people who, depending on the situation, depending on how they came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In times of Tsar, they came more in a supplicative fashion, as a servant comes before a master. In times of good, they came dressed up, more like as an important Tsar, as an important minister, officer, thank you, comes before the king. Rava chazi the Rav Hanuna to come arech bitzaluse. So Rava saw that Rav Hanuna was taking a long time to daven. This is actually very interesting. Amar manichin chayi olam va'oskin b'chayi sha. So interestingly enough, Rava gave him mussar. Rava gave him mussar, and he said, "This person is forsaking eternal life and engaging in temporal life." And I will say, "What's the chap with that?" Rashi says over here, "Chayi olam Torah." Why do people daven? So people daven to take care of their physical, temporal needs for parnasa, for refuah. So Rava apparently was upset that Rav Hanuna was forsaking his Torah learning, which is chai olam haba, gives you eternal life, for the sake of davening. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine being at the level where the kind of mussar you get is that you're spending too much time davening? Spending too much time davening, okay? But who suffer? And he felt, meaning this is now Rav Hanuna felt, Zman Tfila Luchud, Uzman Torah Luchud, that when we speak about Bittul Torah, the time spent on davening is not considered to be time taken away from Talmud Torah. Since the time spent davening is time spent on a spiritual pursuit, it's not considered like Bittul Torah. Rav Yirmiya Havu Yosef Kamed Rabbi Zeira. Rav Yirmiya was sitting in front of Rabbi Zeira. Vahavu Aski Bishmaita. And they were learning. What happened? Naga litzaluye v'hakamisarhev Rabbi Yirmiya. Interestingly enough, so what happened? So it was getting late. Naga, it was getting late to daven. I guess it's talking about mincha time, right? It was getting. Rashi says that over here. No, it doesn't say. But Papashu says mincha. It was getting, because naga means it was getting dark. It was getting too dark to daven. The kamisarhev Rabbi Yirmiya. And what happened? And Rabbi Yirmiya was kind of Rashi's memahir la'amot. He was getting fidgety. It was clear that he was getting up to daven. Kori Ali Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said about him, Meser ozno mishmoa Torah. If someone goes ahead and literally moves his ear from hearing Torah, or closes his ear from learning Torah, gam tfiloso to'eva. His tefillah is also an abomination. Very strong. So apparently the muster was that he should not have gone ahead, and one who's in the midst of learning Torah does not have to interrupt their Torah learning for the sake of tefillah. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. So we'll say, now, remember the only reason we got into that whole discussion now was why? Because the Gemara wanted to know what was the beginning, what's considered the beginning of a su'uda. Remember our topic. Our topic over here is just certain activities that you're not supposed to start before davening mincha. But halacha l'maaseh, if you started them, you don't have to stop them. So the Gemara asked the shayla, what's considered to be the start of a meal? And the Gemara answered, the loosening of the belt. Right, for the Babylonians. So that gave rise to this whole discussion about loosening of the belt for tefillah. Once you're talking about tefillah, you got into other stories of preparedness for tefillah. But now the Gemara comes back. So let's go back for a second. One of the things mentioned in the Mishnah was that you're not supposed to adjudicate a case before you daven mincha, but if you start it, you don't have to stop. So the Gemara says, what is haschalas hadin? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiya v'Rabbi Yona. Chad amar, mishyisatfu hadayonin. One says it's when the dayanim would cloak themselves, when they would cover themselves. Rashi says over here, dayanim misatfin bitalisan. They would cover themselves in their talis. Kishaposchin bedin meimas shchina v'shelo yifnu rosh lekan ulekan v'tei daton miyushevzan. So interestingly enough, apparently dayanim used to wrap themselves in their talis, and the talis would cover a good part of their face. The reason for that was out of a fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Remember, when man takes the law into his own hands, that is a very serious thing. And also, that they should be focused. They should be focused on the din. So, one opinion said from the time they cover themselves with the talis, V'chad amar, mishayifashu ba'alei dinin. And the other one said, no, it's from the time that the litigants begin to give their arguments. Time to begin to give their arguments. Velopligi, they're not arguing. Had aski va asu bedina, had lo aski va asu bedina. Everything depends on what the judges were doing. Meaning that if the judges were already sitting in judgment and the zman mincha came, so then the haschalas din is when the litigants begin giving their arguments. Because already, if they're already sitting in judgment, then what? They're already covered with their talis. Masha enkin, if this is the first case of the day, then the haschalas din is what? Is the covering with the talis. Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Havu Yossi Begarsi Bene Amudi. Rav Ami and Rav Asi sat down and used to learn between the pillars. Rav Asi, if you remember again, we saw this already in Maseches Brachos, right? That in Tveria, despite the fact that there were so many different yeshivas, so there were many chamundavka learned Bene Amudi, between the pillars. Okay? V'chol Shaitu Shaitan, every hour, Havu Tapchi A'ivra De Dasha. They would literally knock on the doorpost or knock on the door bolt. V'omri, and they would say, if anyone has a case that needs to be adjudicated, come and we'll hear it. So meaning, what they were doing was, they were making themselves available to the general populace, showing the people that if anyone has a din Torah, please come forward and we'll help you. Rav Chista, Rav Barafuna, Havi Yasli Bedina Kulayoma. Rav Chista and Rav Barafuna, excuse me, were sitting and adjudicating cases all day. Havaka chalish li bayu. I will say it's actually very interesting. Havaka chalish li bayu literally means their hearts became weak. Rashi says over here, it's the first Rashi. I'm sorry, what's Rashi says chalish li bayu? Rashi says, Lashon tainisu shelo sa'adu kolayom. That what it means is they didn't eat the whole day. They remember they were sitting adjudicating case the whole day, they didn't eat the whole day. And I will say, you're going to see the next Rashi. Rashi gives a different girsa, and Rashi says that chalish li bayu means they were upset that they did not get to learn Torah. That they were involved in adjudicating cases the whole day and didn't have a chance to learn. Now you'll see, now let me explain to you something. Chalish li bayu under normal circumstances means like our ashes, it literally means a state of physical weakness, which bapashos would come as a result of fasting. The reason why Rashi interprets it a second way, that it's referring to Talmud Torah, is going to be a result of the answer. So Tanaluhu, you'll see the response. Tanaluhu Ravchia Barav Midifti. So Rav Chiya Bar Ami Difti said them the following. Bless you. Vayamot ha'am amosha min haboker ad ha'erev. So the pasuk says that this is in Parshas Yisro. That after Yisro came to visit Moshe, so what happens? Yisro saw that the people were standing in line for Moshe from the morning until the evening. And it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu was adjudicating cases the entire day, morning to evening. So the Gemara says, V'chisala al daitcho, Shemoshe Yoshe v'dan kal yom kulo, Torasa Masai Nasis. So could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting and adjudicating cases the entire day? What is going to happen to his Torah? Right? When is he going to learn if he's adjudicating cases the entire time? Elomer Lecha Kol Dayon Shedon Din Emes LaAmito Afilu Sha'achos Ma'ala Alav Akosef Kilu Nasa Shutav LaKodesh Baruch Hu B'Maaseh Bereishis. Rather, what does it mean? What does it come to teach you? It comes to teach you that any judge that adjudicates a case properly, even for 1 hour, it's as if he has become a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creation. It says over here, Vayamo ta'am amosha min haboker ad ha'erev. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, the people stood by Moshe Rabbeinu for judgment from morning until evening. And it says, it just happens to be Parshas HaShavua. Vayerev vayvoker yom echad. So you have the bok, even though it's different order, but you have the boker erev. You have the erev boker connection to say that if one judges correctly, literally they come a shut of two HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maaseh Bereishis. Ad Mosai. So that's why you understand also about why Rashi reinterprets this case to mean that Chalosh Libayu means that they were upset that they didn't get to learn Torah. So the answer that they got is, you're right, Enochinami, you don't have to sit in judgment all day. You have to take time to learn Torah. Unless you think that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting and judging all day, that's not possible. Torah somate aleha. When would he have time to learn? So why does it say he was judging the whole day if he wasn't judging the whole day? And the answer to that is, because anyone who goes ahead and judges correctly, even for 1 hour, becomes a partner in the creation of the world with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like by creation it says Erev and Voker, so too by Moshe Avinu's danning, Moshe Avinu's judging in the right way, it also says Erev and Voker. Ad Masa Yoshin Bedin. So now the Gemara started the discussion, the Gemara goes on. And by the way, what time, essentially what it's really asking is, what time does the court go to recess? Right? At what time does the court break for lunch? Ad Masa Yoshin Bedin. Amrav Sheish says Ad Zman Su'uda. Until the time for a suda, until it's time to eat. Amrav Chama Maikra. What's the pasuk that supports this? Dechsiv, so he quotes over here now from the pasuk from Koheles. I loch eretz shemalkeich na'ar v'sa'arayich baboker yochelu. What is the land whose king is a na'ar, is a lad, and sarayich, its ministers, eat in the morning? Ashrecha, or ashrech, excuse me, eretz, praiseworthy is the land, shemalkeich ben chorin, whose king is free, v'sarayich be'es yochelu, and whose ministers eat at the right time, bigvura, with strength, velo bishasi, and not out of thirst. So the Gemara says, "Bigvura shel Torah, velo bishtia shel yayin." It means that they eat with the strength of the Torah and not out of a desire to drink wine. What does that mean? So you'll see in just a moment. So the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan." What does that mean? It means that when they eat their meal at a time that strengthens them to go ahead and learn even more. So the Gemara is going to explain this. Tana Rabbanan, Sha'arishona ma'achaludin. So now the Gemara is going to go through the following. There are people who eat at the first hour of the day. That's the ma'achal ludin. The ludin eat. The ludin eat at the first hour of the day. Who are the ludin? Rashi says, Uma shekorin kna... actually, that's interesting. Kanalinash. Cannibals. Va'ochle odam hein. They eat people. Ve'hein ra'av sonin. And they're ravenous. So they eat early in the day. I mean, I guess we're not as concerned about what they're eating as opposed to when they're eating. But they're ravenous and they're eating first thing in the day. Okay. Shnia, who eats second hour? Machalistin. That's robbers eat in the second hour of the day. Why? Because the assumption is robbers are usually working through the night. So they go to sleep a little bit, a little shluff, and then they wake up to eat something the second hour of the day. Shlishis, listen to this. Who eats at the third hour of the day? Machal Yarshin. That's when people who inherit things eat. Now, what does that mean? People who don't have to work for a living. So people who don't have to work for a living, but they're living off the trust fund, they eat early. They eat third hour of the day also. Ma'achal polim, workers eat fifth hour of the day. Ma'achal yoshen revias, ma'achal polim chamishis, right? The workers eat in the fifth hour of the day. I'm sorry. Revias ma'achal polim, excuse me. Fourth hour the workers eat. Chamishis ma'achal kolodim. And everyone else eats in the fifth hour of the day. Eating, is that so? V'amar ha'papa revias is man suda l'chol adam. Right, the Gemara says, Rapapa says that revias, the fourth hour of the day is when everybody eats. Ela revias ma'achal kolodim. The Gemara says, you're right. Rather, what does it mean? The fourth hour of the day is when most people eat. Chamishis ma'achal polim. The fifth hour of the day is when workers eat. Shishis ma'achal tamidi chachamim. And tamidi chachamim wait until the sixth hour to eat. Mikan ve'elech, but I will say, if you wait to past the sixth hour, the Gemara says, Kizorek even lechemas. It's like throwing a stone into a bag of wine, right? A wineskin. Rashi says, Kizorek even lechemas, kasha leguf. So, velinira lo kasha velo yafa. It's interesting enough, what the Gemara is saying over here is, if you wait to eat past the sixth hour of the day, So Rashi has two girsos. Either girsa number one is actually physically detrimental, or girsa number two is it's just that the eating doesn't have a good or a bad effect. Like throwing a stone into a bag. Just like throwing a stone into a bag is a totally innocuous act with absolutely no ramifications. So once you wait to eat so long, the normal benefits, I guess nutritional benefits of eating are lost as well. Amr Abai, but Abai says that's only true. Lo Omron, Elo de lo Tami de Bitsafra. Aval Tami de Bitsafri Leslan Ba. So Abai says, but when do we say that eating past the sixth hour is innocuous at best, potentially harmful at worst, is if you didn't eat anything in the morning. But if you ate a little something in the morning, then even if you delay your afternoon meal, your lunch meal, you're okay. Also, you have to appreciate something that Bizmana Gimara is still like this in many places. Lunch was the major meal. People ate a little bit of what they called pas shachris, a little bit in the morning. You had something very light at night, so lunch was the major meal. So the idea the Gemara is saying is the impact of the meal is only felt if you eat it at a good time. But if you wait too long, it also means when a person is ravenous, and a person is very hungry, they don't take their time with their food as much, they don't appreciate their food as much. Okay. Amar Rav Adbar Abba, Mispalel Adam Tfilos HaBeis HaMerchatz. Rav Adbar Abba says a person is permitted to daven in a bathhouse. Meisid, the Gemara says, really? Hanichnas labeis amerchas, if one walks into a bathhouse, so makom shebnei adam omdin levushin, yesh sham mikra utfila vein tzarech lomar shela shalom. So if a person walks into the bathhouse, we'll say a bathhouse had multiple chambers. The outermost chamber of the bathhouse is where people are still walking around with their clothing. So in that room, you could learn, you can daven, you could say shalom aleichem, because we saw in the ninth chapter of Brachas, saying shalom aleichem is a chiddush, because what's shalom? Shalom is the name of Hashem. So you could greet people with the name of Hashem. Maniach tefillin. You could even put on tefillin there. Ve'ein tzarech lomar sheino cholitz. And certainly you don't have to take your tefillin off if you're wearing them. However, if you go into the next room, makom shebnei adam omdim arumim ulavushin. If you go into the next room in, so some people were clothed, some people were unclothed. Yesh sham sheila shalom. You can greet people there, still there with the Shem Hashem. Ve'ein sham mikra. You can't learn there. You can't learn Torah there. Utfila, you can't daven there. Ve'eno choleitz tefillin, but you don't have to take off your tefillin. However, ve'eno maniach lechatchila, but you can't put tefillin on there lechatchila. Makom shevenei adam omdim arumim. But mamush, when you get into the mamush, the bathhouse proper, where everybody's sitting without clothing, ain sham nothing. Ain sham shela shalom. You can't greet people with the name of Hashem. Ve'ein tzarech lomar mikra utfila. You can't daven. You can't learn. The choleitz tefillin. You have to take off your tefillin if you're wearing them. Ve'ein tzarech lomar sheino manichon. And it goes without saying that you certainly can't put them on. So Bosei says a contradiction, because Rav Adbar Abba said before that you could even go ahead and what? Daven in the merchatz. We see it's contradicted. To which the Gemara says, no. Ki kamar Rav Adbar Abba, the merchatz she'in bo adam. What are we talking about? The merchatz is empty. No one's there. So Gemara says, 1 second. V'ha'amar Rav Yossi bar Chanina, merchatz she'amru af api she'in bo adam. But yet we explicitly said, Rav Yossi bar Chanina said, that when we talk about the restrictions on davening or learning or anything else in the merchatz, that's true even of what? Even if no one's in there. So the Gemara says, similarly, all of the restrictions regarding Dvarim Shebek Dusha in a bathroom are all true even if what? Even if there's no actual waste there. What is Rav Adbar Abba talking about, Rav Osai? A brand new bathhouse. What's a brand new bathhouse? That no one has ever used it. Right? Mamish, they haven't even cut the ribbon yet. So it's there, it hasn't even been used yet. That's when Rav Adbar Abba says you could dive in and do everything in there. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Vahami boy by the Ravina. But this was a shayla that Ravina asked. His milah beisakise mahu. Yesh zimun o on zimun velo ifshutule. So the Gemara says, but this question was asked. Because Ravina asked, if you have a place that you designated as a bathroom, but what? Have not yet used it as a bathroom. We did this Gemara. Hazmana milsa or lav milsa. Is designating an area for something valid enough to imbue it with that identity or not? Velo ifshita. And furthermore, we never resolved that. The Gemara says, lav hu adin lamerchatz. So Gemara says, we assume that whatever is going to be true, whatever question is going to apply for a bathroom, will also apply for a bathhouse. To which the Gemara says, look. Dilma, shiny based akise dimois. No. Maybe it's not true. Maybe the only shiloh with hazmana is by a bathroom. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because the truth is, a bathroom is mos. Bathroom is mos. It's disgusting. Even if it hasn't been used, because of the knowledge of what it's used for, that's where the Gemara has a shayla that if you designated it as a bathroom, even if it has not been used as that, perhaps you still can't daven in there. Maybe when it comes to a bathhouse, before it's been used as a bathhouse, it's not really mos, and therefore Rav Adi Bar Abba is saying that halacha lemaisa, before it's actually designated as, before it's used as a bathhouse, you'll be permitted to daven inside of it. I will say, just so you should know, that is the halacha, right? That's actually the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. That halacha lemaisa, if the bathhouse has been designated as a bathhouse, but has not yet been used as a bathhouse, you are permitted to daven in there. Okay, ein shem she'ela shalom. So the Gemara says that when you get into the inner chambers of the bathhouse, you can't greet people with a shalom aleichem. Says the Gemara, Messiah the Rav Hamnuna. This supports Rav Hamnuna. Mishmei du'ula. The Amar asra li adam shiyitein shom lechavera beis amerchatz. Because they said that you can't greet a person, you can't say shalom aleichem to someone in the bathhouse. Mishum shene'emar vayikra lo Hashem shalom. Because the Pasuk says, here the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Shoftim. Vayikra lo Hashem shalom. He called him Hashem. He called Hashem, or Hashem called, depending on how you read the pasuk. The Gemara is dashing it over here. Is he called out to him Hashem shalom? So you see from here that what, that shalom is one of the names of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This is even in addition to not talking in the bathroom. That was bathroom. This is bathhouse. So there's no restriction on talking in the bathhouse. So here Rashi points out over here, Gidon laKodesh Baruch Hu Hashem Shalom. Gidon called God Hashem Shalom. So you see from here that what? That Shalom is one of the names of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's why once you get into the area of the bathhouse where everybody's unclothed, halacha lemaisa, you can't greet people with that name. So the Gemara says, Elame Ata, Heminusa Nami Asim Rebesakise. If that's the case, you also should not be able to say Heminusa in the bathroom. The Rabbi will say, what does that mean? Rashi says, Heminusa is Aramaic for Emuna. For Emuna, Rashi says, Lahaskir Emuna Bevesakise. So the assumption is that that's also like a descriptive name of God, so you shouldn't be able to say in the bathroom either. Dichsiv Hakela Ne'eman. Because one of the descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that He is the trustworthy God. So you shouldn't be able to greet somebody in the bathroom with Heminusa. Maybe you'll say that indeed is the case. But yet, Rechan Bar Gur is the name of Rav, that you are permitted to say Heminusa in the bathroom. The Gemara says there's a difference. Hasam shem gufei lo ikri hachi v'metargaminam elokam mehemna. Hacha shem gufei ikri shalom dichsev vayikra lo Hashem shalom. Both say the fundamental difference. Shalom is the name of the Ribono Shel Olam. What does Heminusa say? Heminusa is an Aramaic, right? Is an Aramaic translation of the word Shalom, of the word Emuna, right? So when we do call God Ne'eman, but Heminusa is the Aramaic form of Ne'eman. So therefore, that's not a Shem Hashem. Because it's not a Shem Hashem, but it's rather just a descriptive name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you can go ahead and say in the bathroom. Well, so you should know, this, because this is an interesting shayla that was asked, you know, our money says, in God we trust. So it's an interesting shayla that's asked, can you bring money into the bathroom? And the answer is, actually this Gemara, the answer is yes. Why? Because God is not one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's like technically speaking. You know, you don't have to, I mean, don't tell this to the seminary girls, but you don't have to write G-D. You don't have to do that. You could write G-O-D, and you could throw out the piece of paper, it's not called Shemus, because God is not one of the Shemos Hashem. So just like you could say Heminusa, again, it's not a bad idea to do it. It instills in one reverence for the Shem Hashem, but Me'ikar Adin, it's not necessary. So the same way you could say Heminusa in the bathroom, technically speaking, you could say God in the bathroom, but you could certainly bring in your money that says in God we trust. A lot of interesting discussions in terms of people sometimes have psukim, right, on necklaces or on rings. Not for now, but it is an interesting discussion.
G-O-D. So that's not Shem Hashem. So
well, if something has a bracha on it, you think in the Hebrew it has it?
No, they translate it in English.
If something again is a tefillah, it should be put in Shem, it should be treated respectfully. Right. Meaning, just because something isn't necessarily technically the Shem Hashem, doesn't mean that a person shouldn't try to treat it with respect. But technically speaking, G-O-D won't make it Shemus. Technically. Reiter. Amar Rava, Bar Mechasi, Amar Rav Chama, Bar Goria. Amarav. Hanosin matron lechaber. Rabbi says, if you give a gift to your friend, tzarech lodio. You have to inform your friend that you have given him the gift. Why? So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, tzarech lodio, matan ploni etein lecha, v'zeo derech kavod, sh'teshema yisbayish lekablo, mitoch kach mitzasim midrarm ve'ino bosh bedavar. V'chein inasna beveso shlo midyaso, tzarech lodio, sh'miyodo balo sh'mitoch kach. So we'll say, listen, Rashi second gear, this is what I'm going to talk about. Sh'mitoch kach yehei ohavo. Rabosai, you know what? When you give something to someone, there is no better way to build bonds of friendship than to let the person know that you gave. Rabosai, this is different than tzedakah, right? Tzedakah, the way to give tzedakah is b'seser, is quietly. The person doesn't have to, that's the best. This is the matron, this is a gift. So halacha believes in anonymous tzedakah, but doesn't believe in anonymous gift giving. Because when there's anonymous gift giving, you don't know who to have a karas atol for. As opposed to, if you know that I gave you a gift, then by definition, that builds bonds between us. So if you give someone a gift, tzarech lo dio. Tzarech lo dio. So the Gemara says, Shneemar, ladas ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem. Because what does the pasuk say? You should know that I am God who sanctifies you. So Yibon Shalom says, you should understand that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give you kedusha. Why? Because this way you'll have a karas atol to me. Tanya na mehachi. We have a brisa that supports this. Ladas, ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to this. Matana tovi yeshli yabeis genazai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a beautiful gift in my treasure house, in my hidden storehouses. V'Shabbos Shmo. And its name is Shabbos. V'ani mevakesh litna liYisrael. And I want to give it to the Jewish people. Lech v'hodiyem. Go and tell them. So what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu? Tell them. Don't just say, hey guys, gotta keep Shabbos. Explain to them the gift that I am giving them. Mikan, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, from Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Hanosein pas latinok, someone who gives bread to a child, tzarech lo'odia li'imo, he should tell his mother. So meaning, if you do something nice for someone's kid, you should make sure that the parents find out what you did for the child. Again, we'll say why. Not because you're trying to look good in people's eyes, but because again, it builds bonds of achdus when people know that someone else is doing something beautiful for them. My Ovidle, so what should you do? Meaning, we'll say the Gemara, things don't change all that much. Generally, kids don't tell parents what exactly, you know, happened. So how can you rely on the fact that the kid got a loaf of bread from Reuven? So how does Reuven know that the kid is going to tell the parents that Reuven gave the loaf of bread? So my Ovidle, Amar Abaye, Shoif le Mishcha, Umali le Kochla. You know what you do? You could smear oil between the kid's eyes, or put Kochla. Kochla means makeup around his eye. Or in other words, meaning do something to the kid that's going to say to the parent, the parent's going to ask, what happened to you? Right? And the kid's going to say, oh yeah, that's right, Reuven gave me a loaf of bread. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ha'idna techashino l'kshaf in mai. But today, when we don't do this, because the truth is, the Gemara says it looks like sorcery. Apparently, I guess in the times of the Gemara, this looked like sorcerers, people who engage in sorcerous practices, did stuff like this. Amar Papa, shalif shoiflei me'osahamin. You know what you do? Rub a little bit of the item on his clothing. So you're giving him a piece of chocolate? Mother's not going to be happy with this, but you know, rub a little chocolate on the kid's sleeve. This way, even if the kid eats it all up before he gets home, the mother says, hey, how did you get chocolate on your sleeve? Oh, Reuven gave me a piece of chocolate. Okay. Ini, is that so? V'ha'omar Rav Chama Bar Chanina, ha'nosin matron lechaveiro ain't tzarech lo'odio. But Rav Chama Bar Chanina said that if you give a gift to someone, you don't have to tell them. Where does Gemara know this? From Shina Emar, u'moshe lo yoda ki karan or pana bedabro ito. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know that what? That his face had become illuminated as a result of speaking with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what is it clear about saying? That the Ribbono Shel Olam did not tell Moshe about the beautiful light emanating from his face. Lo kashi, the Gemara says, not a kasha. Haba milsa David legluye, haba misid la avid legluye. If the gift is going to become known, avid legluye means it's going to be revealed, then the giver doesn't have to give it, then the giver doesn't have to tell the recipient, because the recipient is going to find out on their own. Masha'inkin, if it's the kind of gift that's not going to become revealed, then the giver must reveal it to the intended recipient. Otherwise, the intended recipient won't have the akaras atov. Va'ashabis David Ligluye. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to give them advance notice? God is giving you a beautiful gift called Shabbos. David Ligluye. People are going to find out very quickly. And obviously, when Moshe Rabbeinu says we have Shabbos, there's only one place that Shabbos is coming from. Matan schara lo avid ligluye. But you know, it wouldn't become clear? That they have to keep Shabbos is going to become clear. the schar associated with Shabbos is not immediate, clear. So apparently he says in the Gemara, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu to go tell them about Shabbos, what he's really telling them was what? Go tell them about the beautiful schar of Shabbos. Rav Chista have nakit biyadei tarti masnasa de tura. Rav Chista, who was a Kohen, was holding two pieces of an ox that were his matnos kahuna. He had matnos kahuna in his hand. He was holding whatever, two big pieces of meat. Two big pieces of meat. Amr, he said, Kol man da asiva amr di shmaisi sochalat ha-mishmei derav, yahivne le-yehele. Whoever could tell me something new in the name of Rav, Rav was his Rebbe. Rav was Rav Chista's Rebbe. So whoever could tell me something in the name of the Rebbe, whoever could tell me something in the name of the Rebbe that I have not heard before, I will give him the meat. It's big stuff. Right? I will give him the steak. Amamish, I'll give him the steaks. Amr le Rava bar Mechasya. Rav Bar Mechasya said this, and he heard this, and he said, "Amar Rav, Hanosin Matana Lechaveiro, Sarich Lohodio, Shene Emar, Ladaas Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem." So Rav Bar Mechasya heard this, and he said to Rav Chista, "Oh, Rav said that when you go out and you give a gift to your friend, you have to tell him because the pasuk says Ladaas Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, Yov Nehele." So Rav Chista gave him the meat. Amar Chaviv Alecha Shmaisis in the Rav Kulei Hai. Rav Bar Mechasya said to Rav Chista, "You really love the teachings of Rav so much." Amrle in. Rav Chista said yes. Amrle Hanudam Rav. He said, "You know, I'll tell you, this is exactly what Rav said." Rav himself said, "Milsa Milsa al Bishaihu Yakira." Take a look at Rashi Rabbeinu saying, "Milsa Abishai Yakira, Mi'il, if you have a garment, Damav Yikarim, that's very expensive, L'misha Ragil Alovsho." Someone who appreciates fine clothing will appreciate the fine suit. So Rabbeinu saying, if you give me a Hugo Boss suit, and a suit from K&G is Chataini Maskir. You can't tell the difference. I think most of us can't tell the difference. Right? But if you give someone his mamish like a, you know, Bilal, like a fine schmecker, you know, someone mamish who, someone who really could appreciate these kinds of things, then what? So they'll appreciate. Rav Bar Mechasya said to Rav Chista, I see you mamish appreciate the teachings of Rav just like a person appreciates a fine garment. So the Gemara says, "Amar le, Amar Rav Hochi." So Rav Chista said, "Did Rav really say this? Basraisa, this last statement, Adif Ali Mikamaisa, is even more precious to me than the earlier one." Meaning, what does Rav saying about saying that in life, you know, sometimes you could only appreciate something if you have a cultivated taste for it. So I will say, sometimes what Rav was saying was there are parts of Torah or there are parts of Yiddishkeit that might not appeal to us. You know why that is? Because I don't have a refined enough palate. It's the same way that if you don't appreciate good wine, it's not going to make a difference if it's 5 years old, 2 years old, 25 years old, if it's kedem or whatever else. You're just going to drink it. The truth is, Rav was saying for Torah and Yiddishkeit as well, you have to have a refined palate. And if you don't appreciate it, you just have to ask yourself, maybe your palate, your spiritual palate, is not refined enough. So Rav Chista was blown away by this. He said, "This last statement is even better than the first statement. V'i hava nakitna achrisi yahivna lecha." And the truth is, if I would have another piece of meat, I would give it to you. One more line, Rav Osai. V'amar Rav Bar Mechasi, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Amar Rav, li'olam a yishana adam b'no ben abonim. A person should never favor one of his sons above his other children. Why? Shebishil mishkal shnei sloim milas, shenosan Yaakov v'Yosef, because of the extra two sloim of fine wool that Yaakov gave to Yosef, yoser mishar banav. Remember, he's referring to the Ketonas HaPasim. Because of the extra two sloim of wool that Yosef got in his coat more than the other brothers, niskan umbo echav, the brothers got jealous, v'niskal gil hadavar, the matter escalated, v'yardu avosin le Mitzrayim, and our forefathers ended up going down for servitude in Mitzrayim. All right, we'll stop over. We'll pick up right here on Sunday. Right, Sasha.